Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus, the reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep, open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and in today's discussion, we skyfall into the phenomenon of alien abduction and the after effects it can have on experiencers. Due to this, wonderfully understanding people like today's guest have formed support groups to help abductees and in turn have helped to further the research into who or what these beings could be and why they do what they do. But before we get into this awesome conversation today, of course, got to run through the front of house. So if you're not following the show on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, or Discord, highly recommend that you do. It's starting to pop off even more on the Discord, so I'm definitely pushing that more so than anything. If you're going to follow any of the pages, make sure you guys join the Discord, because it's getting to a point where there's regular communication going back and forth between everybody, and we're finally getting to the point where we're starting to form a community. So if that sounds like something you want to be on the ground floor of, definitely go and check it out. Even if you pop in, see what it's all about. If you have any suggestions on how I can improve the group, I would absolutely love to hear them. But again, the only way I'm going to do that is if you guys connect with me and we make all this work. But if anybody's interested in being a guest on the show, or if you're interested in having me as a guest on your show, or if you're interested in sponsoring the show in some way, shape, or form, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is increaseofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. Or you guys can get a hold of me on social media. Instagram is the one that I'm the most active on, but you guys can definitely shoot me a message on Facebook or Discord also. Or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form, and that will go directly to my email. Make sure you guys always check your spam or junk folders. Make sure nothing gets missed, because I do respond to every single message that I get from all of you wonderful listeners out there. And if anybody wants to report an encounter, no matter how big or small it is, whether it's paranormal, extraterrestrial, cryptid related, weird phenomenon related, time slip related, anything at all that's weird, you guys can report your encounters to OMMencounterreports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, fill a submission form. I believe it's the third tab down that says report an encounter. And depending on what you want to do with it, we can have some back and forth. Either one, I can read it on the show, give you a shout out, or I can leave your name out of it completely. Or if you're somewhere relatively close to me, maybe I can get out and investigate it or research it. Or if you just want somebody to talk about with and you don't want it shared with anybody, it can definitely stay between us two. But it's there, and I'm here to talk about it with you guys as much as you guys want to. And if you guys enjoy this show, highly recommend going and checking out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren. Over there, it's a little bit of a different format than this show. We definitely cover the same types of topics, but rather than it being a guest-related show, which we do have guests on the show here and there, but primarily it's Oren and my research into a bunch of different weird topics, obviously pertaining to cryptids, paranormal, UFOs, extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, weird phenomenon, all that fun stuff. We get a little bit off the rails on it sometimes. Some episodes are a little bit more serious, so if you guys want a good mix of all of that, definitely recommend going and checking out Bizarre Encounters. And while you guys are checking that out, we are in the process also of dropping our Patreon exclusive show, which will be Bizarre Inquiries. And the whole premise of that show is that we want to be able to discuss what if type of scenarios. So if anybody has some what if scenarios they would like to pass forward to us, definitely recommend getting a hold of me. It can be things such as what if Mothman fought Sasquatch? Or what if an alien invasion happened tomorrow? Or what if we realized that there was a Stargate inside of one of the pyramids that anybody could go through? Any of that kind of stuff. If you guys have any ideas that you guys would like us to discuss, shoot me a message. Let me know what it might be. I want to make sure we have a little database of that. And of course, if we discuss your question, we'll give you a big shout out in the show. And that will, like I said, be a Patreon exclusive, but I'll probably still drop some clips onto YouTube and TikTok. But as far as the first couple episodes, it will be dropped on the normal feed for Inquiries of Our Reality and for Bizarre Encounters, so you guys can get a little bit of a feel as far as what we're doing over there. And if you guys want to keep tabs on everything that I do all in one place, make sure you guys follow Open Minds Media across social media. And some of my pages, such as the YouTube, the Discord, and the TikTok, are all just under Open Minds Media. Makes it a little bit easier for me because everything's all in one place. But other than that, the actual social media pages are, of course, all divided between the different shows. And, of course, I have the Open Minds Media page. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one, of course, that I am trying to build up as much as possible to make it so that I can hopefully do this full-time one day, be able to possibly drop episodes for you guys daily, drop some daily video content for you guys, make it so that I can live my dream and do exactly what I would like to be doing with life. Again, go and join the Patreon. You get things over there such as early access to the show, ad-free episodes of the show, lives of the show, live replays of the show, exclusive merch store discounts, exclusive giveaways. There's some different poll options over there too. And if you guys have any suggestions as far as what you guys would like to see over on the Patreon, I'm more than happy to take suggestions for that. We are working on some Patreon exclusive shows such as Bizarre Inquiries, like I mentioned, but it's going to be a lot more going on with the Patreon. So again, getting on the ground level of that stuff and help me so I can build up the show as much as possible in 2024. And if you guys want to donate to the show directly, make it so that I can get out to more events, get to meet more of you guys firsthand, create new pockets of listeners. You guys can donate through Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, or Red Circle, which is the RSS host for the show. And if you guys donate and it doesn't give you some type of option for a personalized message, make sure you leave a personalized message. Make it so that I can give you a shout out in the show. And no matter what it is, more than appreciated. Even if you just want to drop enough in there to get me a coffee to keep me awake while I'm doing some editing, that would be absolutely fantastic. But if you guys can't support the show that way, there are, of course, different ways. You guys can also go and check out the Open Minds Media merch store, where you'll find stuff for Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Encounters, some exclusive cryptid designs. Still, again, trying to expand more over there, but as far as designs and everything goes, if you guys have anything that you'd like to see more, such as more of the cryptid designs, definitely let me know, and I can definitely coordinate that. And number four, the main, huge way you guys can support the show, too, is through leaving reviews or ratings for the show on iTunes or Spotify, which I appreciate more than you guys will ever know, because it helps out the algorithm to make it so that more people are able to see the show and the show can continue to keep growing organically. And speaking of organic growing, another awesome way to help the show out is to share the show through word of mouth. If you think there's anybody that would really enjoy listening to any of the topics we've talked about in the show, even if you just want to get them slightly interested, you guys can go over to the YouTube or the TikTok, send people some clips of the show. Any of that is more than appreciated. And if you guys want to support the show but not have to spend a dollar, that is the most fantastic way you guys could possibly do that. And in turn, like I said, get a shout out in the process for it. But if you guys aren't able to do any of those things, I more than appreciate you guys just being around listening to the show. And if you are a regular listener of the show, you guys can also go on to Spotify and hit auto download for the show. I believe that it deletes within a couple days anyways, but it'll make it so that even if you don't listen every single episode, it'll count it as a listen for the episode. And again, it'll continue to help the show continue to grow. And while we're talking about continuing to grow, of course, have to support my friends out there in the community. Number one, our new people that we're working with as far as Inquiries of Our Reality and Bizarre Encounters is I Know Squatch. And Hans and Rick over there are dropping a lot of fantastic designs as far as particular to Sasquatch goes. They have the really cool creeper design where he's peeking out from behind the tree. They're always dropping some new awesome hats. If you guys watch any of the videos for anything that I drop, Orin and I are regularly wearing their hat design that says Whoop across it with the silhouette of the Sasquatch. I know that they recently just dropped a new hat that's some plaid print, like the red lumberjack plaid print with their running Sasquatch on the side of it, but they're always dropping some awesome, fantastic gear. So if you guys want to pick up some Sasquatch stuff, all my Squatches out there, highly recommend going and checking out I Know Squatch, because why believe when you know Squatch? And past that, if you guys want to pick up any other type of cryptid gear, no matter what it is, be it Wendigos, the Goblins, Jersey Devil, Mothman, any of that, One of the best guys out there on the market as far as all cryptid-related gear goes is Joe over there at Cryptotiology, continuously always dropping fantastic new designs. I know he dropped a good handful of new designs over Christmas, so if you guys want some semi-Christmas-related stuff, I know he has a lot of new stuff over there, and I know that he will be at home. He's on a little bit of a break as far as conventions go, so I'm sure that before you guys know it, there's going to be a lot of new awesome designs getting dropped over there. And past that, of course, too, to all my paranormal investigators out there, highly recommend going and supporting Dimension Devices and picking up yourself one of the Chattergeists. And it is an all-in-one paranormal investigating device. It's my personal favorite that I've used. I have it sitting right here in the drawer next to me. And anytime I go out and I do any type of paranormal investigation, it's the number one first piece of equipment that I'm always going to grab. And if you guys have any questions on that whatsoever, you guys can hit up Barry on Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy specifically that programs it, so we can answer any of your technical questions that you might have on it. And if you guys decide that you guys want to scoop one for yourself, make sure you use our affiliate link. I would greatly appreciate it. Helps out the show a lot, of course. And let's get some Chattergeist sold, because those things are fantastic devices, and Barry worked really, really hard on them and definitely deserves it. And everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Chairman for Opus, Les Verlez. How's it going today?
Hey, thank you, Shane. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I've heard you on a couple of other podcasts, and I found the conversation absolutely fascinating. So I figured it was about time to try to get you to come on this show, and then we can get into some interesting conversation.
You got it. Absolutely.
So I guess a good spot to start for anybody that might not be familiar with who you are, what you do, and what exactly Opus is, why don't you kind of give them a rough idea about everything that you do?
Sure. Well, I think probably the best place to start is when I first got interested in this, the paranormal area, if you will. When I was 11 years old, I was living in Connecticut at the time, and I was coming in the house after feeding my dog, and it was already dark, and I noticed this object that was just hovering over a tree line, and it was totally silent. It was oval in shape, and it was self-illuminated, and it scared the hell out of me. And I ran in the house, and by the time I was able to get my father to come out, it was gone. And he says, "Oh, it's probably just a beacon of light reflecting off a cloud." And of course, I didn't buy that. Shortly thereafter, I went to the library and picked up some books on UFOs. And back in those days, George Adamski was the preeminent experiencer and writer about UFOs, and his experiences with the Venusians and his photographs and his books were phenomenal that he had taken with his telescope of these craft. So anyway, I was really into it for a while. And then, you know, it kind of grew out of it. And kind of forgot about it, and went off to college and went in the service and spent some time there for a while, and eventually got married. And back in 1985, I decided to move my family from Connecticut out to California, San Jose, and picked up the San Jose Mercury News one day, and there was an article in there about Stanton Freeman, this nuclear physicist that was coming to San Jose City College to talk about UFOs and the government cover-up. Well, it was like somebody threw a switch, and I was totally, you know, wanted to go see him speak and expecting to see maybe only a handful of people at this presentation. The auditorium was packed, and he gave this incredible presentation. And on my way out, there was a table set up by MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which was founded in 1969 by a couple of engineers out of Texas. And so they produce a monthly journal. And I decided, well, this would be great. You know, I got to start reading about these cases and everything. I mean, I was basically a nuts and bolts kind of guy back in those days. And so I started to get the journal, and I did that for about maybe 6 to 8 months. And then it wasn't enough for me. I decided I got to get more involved. And so MUFON has a field investigator training course. So I took the course, I passed the test, and I became a field investigator. And one of the cases I got involved with, the person said that they had not only seen this UFO, but that they had contact with these non-human intelligences. Well, I must say I was quite skeptical at first to hear this for the first time. And so I kind of disregarded it. But then I got involved with another case. And almost all the cases I got involved with seemed to run that way, that the person saw the object, but then they also said that they had contact with these non-human intelligences. And I said, holy smokes, this is very significant. Something is really happening. And one day, one of the people that I was working with said, do you know of other people having experiences like that? And I said, yes, I do. And so next thing I know, I'm facilitating a support group in my office in San Jose. So it was quite interesting to sit in on these sessions with these people and hear their stories, which were amazing, absolutely amazing. And I got a call from the international director of MUFON at the time and said, this reporter would like to interview an investigator, and he's in your area, so would you be willing to talk with him? And I said, sure. So this guy was involved with the Monterey Coast Weekly paper in Monterey, California. And he came out, and we had a long discussion, and he wrote up this great article. He did a really nice job on it. And shortly thereafter, I got a call from a woman down in Carmel, California. And she said, I'd like to understand what's going on with my brain waves when I'm in contact with these entities, these off-earthly entities. And I said to myself, well, you know, I don't know how I could possibly help her. But then she said she was working with an emergency room doctor down in Carmel. And I had a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Eugene Lipson, that was interested in connecting with other doctors that were interested in the phenomena. So I called him up and I said, look, why don't we go down there and talk to this lady, and you can meet this doctor and we'll see what, you know, what will come of it. So we went down there. It was one Saturday afternoon, and we walked in her house, and there was a picture hanging on the wall. And it was her standing on the back of a fairly large boat, and in beautiful crystal clear blue waters, you know. And I said to her, I says, what's that all about? What are you doing? Well, I'm in the Caribbean and I'm helping these treasure hunters. And I'm saying, how are you helping the treasure hunters? And she said that I was in contact with the captain of the galleon that had gone down. And I said, oh, really? Well, that was the start of the afternoon, where she started to tell us stuff about ourselves, that there was no possible way that she could know us from Adam. And we subsequently found out that after a near-death experience that she had had, she became very psychic. And this allowed her to have communications with these off-earthly entities. And she wrote a number of manuscripts about these conversations that she had had. And one of them was with Jesus, which was really quite interesting. And this is the kind of thing that we started to get involved with. And when we came away from that afternoon, we said to ourselves, how can we possibly help people? And that's when the idea of OPUS, the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support, was hatched. And in 1994, we officially became a 501c3 nonprofit organization recognized by the IRS, which always cracks me up. I love that. Paranormal and the IRS. Anyway. But anyway, so, you know, during these sessions that we had, there was many really interesting stories that these people were telling me. And one of the cases involved a couple, and they were amateur pilots, and they were picnicking in a state park north of Santa Cruz. And it was getting to be dusk and they were coming out of the park. And this is a rather hilly area. It goes from basically sea level all the way up to maybe 600 or 700 feet. So it's in a rapid progression. But as they were coming out of the park, they noticed this light over the Pacific, and the light got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was literally over their heads. And it was basically a triangular craft about the size of a small Learjet. And it slowly, silently went behind where they were into this canyon. And they noticed another light over the ocean. And again, the same thing. This light got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was over their head. And again, it was another triangular craft. Well, the first one, they felt they were looking at it. The second one, they felt it was looking at them. And they became frightened. And the same thing, this craft went into this canyon behind them. And they had five more lights over the ocean. And at that point, they started to feel robotic in nature. They started to drift seemingly down this path. And this path is rocky. It's dark even during the daytime. So and at dusk, it's probably almost pitch black. And they seem to be able to navigate it quite effortlessly. And so they ended up down at their car, you know, and the last thing that they remember was 3 hours later, they were sitting in a restaurant north of that park, which normally it would only take 10 minutes to get to this restaurant from this park. But they had 3 hours of missing time. So they did come to our meeting, and after this experience, they both developed a rash in their genital area. And so they had gone to his doctor first, and doctor says, well, it's not poison ivy or poison oak. I'm not sure what it is. And then they subsequently went, I believe, to her doctor. And he says, well, it might be some reaction to something, because it doesn't look like, again, any poison ivy or poison oak, which is prevalent in that park where they were. So maybe they were having fun up there or something, but it wasn't due to that. And so they took a picture of this rash, and they showed it to the support group. And almost without exception, they all said that they had a similar rash at one time or another after these, abductions or experiences. And one of the people in the group says, well, I think I know what that's from. And, of course, we all, you know, sat there saying, okay, what do you think? And says it's a reaction to the fluid that they dip you in to sanitize you when they bring you on board the craft. Well, that was quite a revelation. And This incident happened over 30 years ago, and I literally got a call about 3 months ago from them, and following up after all that time, and now they're starting to remember things, you know, without going under regression or anything. They're starting to consciously remember things, and she vividly now remembers that she was dipped in a fluid on board the craft. So, I mean, that's again, quite a revelation and quite a confirmation of the fact that something did occur. And those are the kind of things that you hear over and over again with these people. So, another thing happened in the support group one time near the end of it. One of the people in the group said to me, I've seen you before. I said, oh, really? Where? At a UFO conference? I said, no. I saw you on board the craft. I said, really? Oh, that's interesting. And I kind of blew it off. I didn't think much of it. And then it was like a year and a half later that a totally different person said the same thing. You know, I've seen you before. And I said the same thing, like, where, UFO conference or what? No. You were sitting on this bench naked on board the craft, and you were freaking out, and they told me to go over to you to calm you down. Well, at that point, I decided, okay, I'm going to go get regressed, because consciously, I didn't have any recall of such a thing. And I had three separate regressions, and didn't find out anything along those lines, but I found multiple past lives that I was involved with. And I had a conversation with another person shortly thereafter after these regressions, and they said that, well, maybe this person somehow tapped into a past life where probably you were abducted and this kind of thing happened. And that's something that is not unusual, because they seem to be able to manipulate space and time. And with that ability, who's to say that these things are not possible? I mean, they can, you know, bring you back before they abduct you, you know. I mean, all kinds of crazy, you know, time shifts and time dilations and things of that nature. If they can manipulate, you know, our reality in that way, then who's to say that any of us have had these types of experience? My latest theory on all this, okay, so some people will think I'm crazy thinking this way, but the bottom line is I believe we've all had experiences, and most of us consciously don't remember them. And these can be lucid dreams. They can be all types, you know, out-of-body experiences, all these types of things, which really speak to the fact that there is a different reality. We're dealing with a different reality, and that it's something that is not unusual. It's very common. And, you know, the Roper Organization back in 1992 released a report saying back in those days, like, just in the U.S., there might have been 6 million people that have had experiences. Well, go fast forward in time, and this is a worldwide phenomena, and it continues to happen on a daily basis. It hasn't slowed down. If anything, it's increased. And this is something that... in some cases, in most cases, it seems to be a positive thing for people. Yes, there are definitely cases which are horrible. They're terrible. But luckily, it's a smaller percentage. And so these are the kind of things that, you know, we're dealing with. And that's what OPUS is all about, the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support. Our mission, simply put, is to help people having paranormal experiences. And how we do that is basically three ways. We have a confidential international online support group, and we have almost 400 people in the support group now from around the world that are talking to one another 24/7. And this has proved to be probably the most helpful thing, because these people then understand that they're not alone, that there are other people having these types of experiences, because oftentimes they cannot talk to family members, they can't talk to fellow workers, they can't talk to clergy in fear of being thought of as being crazy. And a lot of these people have already gone to a psychologist or a psychiatrist because they think they're going crazy, you know, having these experiences, and they find out that they don't have a psychopathology. They're totally sane. And so then what? What the hell do you do with that? You know, where do you turn for support? And so the second thing that we do is we have a referral network of mental health practitioners and hypnotherapists that we can recommend to people if that's what they're looking for. And then the third thing that we do, we have a triage group called our Experiencer Support Team. These are people that are very familiar with the topics and are able to talk to these people when they come to us and ascertain what it is that they're really looking for. You know, what kind of help are they looking for with these experiences? And so, and the amount of information that comes out is phenomenal. And again, we don't publish anything along those lines. We maintain confidentiality. This is a sacred thing for us, that we don't want to spill any beans, so to speak, with these people. That most people don't want to be, you know, outed, if you will, because it's, you know, it could be detrimental to their well-being and their jobs and you know, other things. So, we've managed over these years since 1994 to continue to help people in this regard.
Well, yeah, that's an absolutely beautiful thing, especially considering that, you know, most of the time when people are trying to ask somebody about an abduction experience, it's more often than not just about like trying to collect the story more so than anything. So there's not a lot of places out there that are really offering support on it and nothing past that. So, I mean, I think you guys are probably honestly the only ones out here that are doing something like that. And I also want to kind of bring up the comment as far as you mentioned that there was a triangle craft. And when it comes to like the triangle craft versus the circular craft, I know a lot of people have some theories as far as like one might be some type of like government technology and then the other one might actually be extraterrestrial technology. But going into the kind of like that split, you also mentioned that some people have the good experiences. Most people have the good experiences while some people have the bad experiences. Do you think that might be kind of where a split might be as far as like what might be government related abduction versus extraterrestrial abduction?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Shane. And I think that we don't have definitive answers on this, unfortunately. And this field, there's not a lot of answers, you know, that we can actually say, this is it. This is exactly what it is. Well, all we can do is surmise that that's a possibility. And yes, I've heard that the triangular craft are probably ours, our technology, if you will, as opposed to theirs. But I think that that could be also a mixture. I mean, just like, you know, I mentioned good versus bad. I mean, we got good people here on this earth, and we've got some pretty bad people on this planet. And the same thing goes on with regard to our visitors. I think there's different factions that are out there, maybe competing and trying to do various things, some good and some not so good, and we just hope and pray that the good guys win, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Unfortunately, as I said, we just don't have definitive answers to a lot of this stuff. We just don't. All we can do is, you know, make guesstimates about it. But yeah.
And I know that a lot of stuff also gets covered up with like screen memories, for example, too, which I'm sure that may be what happened in your case, unless you get into the whole time dilation concept that maybe in your timeline that you're currently in, it hasn't happened yet. And it's something that happens to you maybe a couple years from now. But when you're up on the UFO, time doesn't necessarily play out the same way that like we imagine it, like from our perspective.
Sorry, yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, as I said, that they seem to have the ability to manipulate space and time, and so with that kind of capability, anything is possible. Anything is possible.
And then, just out of curiosity, also, again, I know a lot of stuff does get covered up by screen memories, but like a prime example, you talk about like the Pascagoula abduction. And there was the two main beings that they saw outside, then there was the female one that was inside the UFO. And if you read the actual transcript reports from one of the abductee that was actually on the table, he mentions that he had seen something that almost looked like a mask, like on the neck of the female. Have you had any experiences where you've talked to people that have mentioned similar things like that, that maybe that's kind of where things start to separate, that more than likely the ones that look like they have that edge might actually be like the government intervention?
Yeah, there was a case that I worked on years ago that produced some incredible pictures. And these pictures came about by the forensic artist for the San Jose Police Department interviewing this person that had these creatures come into his house in a rather secluded area of southern San Jose, the Uvas area. And they were actually, they definitely looked like they were wearing masks. And their headdress, they had this like green string coming out the top of their head. It was like a wig, but a green string. And it was the most bizarre case I had ever seen as far as these things, obviously not showing their real face. It was like a mask. It was like a mask. And this guy was an engineer. So, I mean, he was pretty well grounded. I mean, and the stuff that was happening on his property. I had the good fortune to actually go out to his place with a gentleman who has a very interesting capability. He can see entities. So I took him out there because of the fact that what we felt that there might be a portal out there, that these entities were coming through. So we got to the property, and first thing when we got there, almost within about 5-10 minutes, he says, "There's a portal right over there, and I can see these entities in there. They're in there, and now they've seen us, and now they're like scrambling. they're trying to get out of that area, viewing area." This was a case that actually got written up by a number of really well-known researchers at the time, and the drawings that came out of this case were really significant. But that's probably the best case that I got involved with, where it seemed like this was not their true appearance. They were hiding something. Now, whether or not this was a government related, or was this just an attempt on their part to, I would not even try to guess why they would have a mask on, you know, in this case. What was the purpose of that? You know, whether it was or might have been some kind of device, you know, some technology that they needed to utilize to be able to interface, you know, in this plane or something. Who knows? Your imagination can run wild on some of this stuff. That's for sure.
I mean, as far as the possibility of it maybe not being government intervention, but like them actually wearing masks, I've kind of pondered the idea, like kind of like you mentioned, if it's some type of tool, like maybe it's something that makes it so that they're able to like breathe in this reality, for example, or coming on to like a whole different other perspective of it. You think about like what we're doing as far as like war amongst humans, that we're creating drones, we're sending things overseas, and the whole intention is that eventually, you know, the battlefield isn't going to have any actual humans on it anymore. It's going to be all different types of drones and different types of technology. So, assumably, if there is an advanced race of beings, another culture, you know, maybe they're already past the point where they're not using like robotics, but rather they're using like organic drones essentially to be able to come to this reality. And, you know, maybe some of those are a little bit outdated, and why that comes off the appearance of them wearing a mask might be because maybe it is some type of created robotic, and it's mainly just like a suit that goes over it, possibly.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. I mean, look at where our technology is now, and then these entities are supposedly maybe millions of years ahead of us. I mean, this is like with Arthur C. Clarke has said, you know, that this technology can look like magic to us, you know, and it's certainly the case, I think, that with their capabilities, that it does look like magic. Oh my goodness, you know, this how can they possibly do that? You know, how do they go through walls? How do they take you through a wall or through the ceiling? You know, they rearrange your molecules or your atoms, and, you know, they're able to literally bring you through. That's another case that I got involved with, where this couple were coming back from dinner, I guess. It was dusk, another case around dusk, which is interesting. And they noticed in this field this rather large orb with the...
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
yellow, excuse me, orangey reddish color emanating from the bottom of it. And that's the, you know, and they kind of just all of a sudden together, they once they looked at it, they turned their head back and they drove to their home. And actually, it was a trailer that this guy was a park ranger, and they had like another 3 hours of missing time after they saw this thing. It was like 5:45 or something in the afternoon, and then they showed up at the trailer around 9:30, and they don't recollect anything during that period of time. But that night, they were visited. The woman saw these entities come through the wall, take her boyfriend. It wasn't her husband. It was her boyfriend through the wall, and he was cognizant of the fact that he was being taken, and he was kicking and screaming. But they got him. They took him, and they. And that's the last thing she remembers seeing that happen. And the next morning, he was totally freaked out. They found blood on her, and they had a German Shepherd dog, and that dog was knocked out when this whole thing was happening. He freaked out to the point where he just basically disappeared. He took off. He just couldn't handle it. And so that relationship didn't last because of that. But I mean, there's just many stories like that where, you know, they're able to manipulate our physics in some way, shape, or form that they can do those kind of things. I mean, it's quite dramatic, quite dramatic.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I've had a theory that I've been kind of bouncing around with a few people as far as how that might be a possibility that they're doing that. And I'd love to get your opinion on it, too. From watching a bunch of different videos of different UFOs, where they do this weird thing where they seem like they're solid and then they'll split off and they'll look almost transparent within all the different areas that they split off in. My kind of theory on it, as far as that goes, is that I think it's possible that these things have some type of technology that, you know, if you break things down to the smallest detail, it's little atoms that are vibrating at a certain pitch or frequency. So I've kind of wondered if they have some type of technology or device that makes it so that they're able to vibrate at a different frequency than at what our reality exists in. So rather than them actually becoming like translucent or actually able to like walk through stuff like how we would perceive it, it's rather that they're still solid, but they're vibrating at a different pitch or frequency. So then the particles are actually interacting or touching each other on a microscopic level, and then they're able to pass through things. And when it comes to the aspect of like where the UFOs are split off into a couple different UFOs off of one solid one, my also theory on that is it's a little bit more advanced past that, that maybe they're able to separate the particles into three different areas on top of being able to vibrate the particles at a different frequency, that it'll make it look like there's three UFOs when it's all the atoms and particles from one UFO, but just split into three different versions at that point.
Yeah, I think that the theory that we're dealing with entities that are basically vibrating at a different frequency. I mean, you know, they could be in your room right now or in my room right now, you know, standing behind me, but they're vibrating at a different frequency, so we can't see them, and it's another reality that is in existence, and it's been here, you know. You know, another dimension. You know, we talk about string theory and the various dimensions that exist, and so that they could be existing simultaneously, but they're all vibrating at different frequencies. And so I think it's totally possible that that's a technology that they've been able to manipulate in order to do the kind of things that they're doing. So I think that's a valid theory. It's a valid theory.
And I mean, just kind of elaborating on that one a bit more too, you know, who knows what this technology could potentially be capable of, even when you're talking about how almost everybody has could potentially have a UFO abduction experience, and some of it may happen in the aspect of like astro travel. And when you have these experiences where people will astro travel and then they'll get sleep paralysis after, and they'll see these like shadow people type beings around them, either one, maybe again, it's another way that they're able to exist in our reality, and those aren't actually shadow people, but rather they're UFOs, or possibly it's a screen memory that when you get abducted, you're sitting on a table, you're paralyzed, and you're surrounded by different things that are trying to run whatever experiments or whatever their intentions are that they're trying to do. But rather than you having that image of what actually happened, they fill it up with a screen memory that is something that exists amongst folklore of humans that they know everybody's going to go, oh, it's a sleep paralysis thing, and they won't necessarily connect it with extraterrestrials or UFOs. Yeah. When, again, all these people that are having these sleep paralysis experiences might actually be having UFO abduction experiences.
Yeah, and you bring up sleep paralysis, you know, 2/3 of all cases, whether in the bedroom or not, did not involve sleep paralysis, though. That's the other side of this coin. The debunkers talk about false memory syndrome and things like fantasy proneness and things of that nature. But no, people are having experiences that are significant. And I think that, like I say, most of these cases do not involve sleep paralysis, but I just wanted to throw that out there as something that what we've really found in most of our research that we've done. And we've done a number of studies along those lines. Back in 2009, we produced what we call the Omega-3 study, where we took 71 people that claimed that they had contact with non-human intelligences and 51 people as a control group. And, you know, we found out that these people did not have a psychopathology. They weren't crazy. They didn't have fantasy proneness. When they came back from these experiences, their worldview changed in a positive way. And the stories that they were being told were like, we need to be better stewards of the planet, we need to be more loving, we need to be better to one another, which is wonderful stuff. We also found out that there was a temporal lobe activity that was different in these people and versus the control group. And so Dr. Gary Nolan from Stanford University has done some amazing research and found out that an area in the caudate putamen area, there's a lot more connections where these people that have psychic ability, being able to communicate, telepathically, things of that nature. And so this is, I think, an evolutionary process that's going on right now. And maybe they're involved with making that happen. Dr. Nolan also talked about the fact that, geologists talk about the fact that the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and that our human genome changes, mutates about every 600,000 years. And based on that, he says, based on where we are now versus supposedly where we started, it would mean that the Earth should be at least 9 billion years old, or somebody was messing with our genes way back when. And that's another theory that's very interesting and exciting, I think, that I think there has been some manipulation going on eons ago. And we've been in contact with, and they've been in contact with us for eons.
What do you think the possible connection could be as far as like why they're manipulating the genes? Do you think it's a matter of they're trying to improve the human genes, or do you think possibly they're trying to like isolate something specifically that they maybe find useful?
Yeah, I think that it's sort of like a class experiment that, they've been following us for eons, and that's why, there's people, the bunkers like to talk about, well, if they're so smart, all they need to do is take one of us or, check us out and then, see you later. We're not interested anymore. Well, I think the bottom line is that they're very interested because they have done some manipulation and that they're following their experiment. and continuing to, you know, add nuances to it, you know. And I think that telekinetic capabilities, psychic abilities, telepathic communication, all this stuff, all of a sudden is starting, you're hearing more and more about it. It's like more and more people are having that capability. And so I think that if you were running an experiment, you'd certainly want to continue to follow the results. And also, I think it's like you have it's like a school. It's like a school where, okay, students, we're gonna go out and we're going to, let's take what we do here. We go into the ocean, out in the ocean, and we take a dolphin out of the water. Okay, out of their environment. We take blood. We do measurements. We tag them. How does that sound like implants? Does it sound like implants? and so then a year later, we're back out there again, and we find this same dolphin. We have a tracker on them, and we pull them out of the water, measure them, take blood again, And they keep doing this because they have a new class of people, you know, the next generation of entities, if you will, that need to understand what's going on. So it's an educational process for them as well. So it's just like what we do here. It's not any different, except they're at the top of the food chain and we're not.
I'm glad that you brought that up and described it that way, because that's kind of how I've always seen it as far as like implants go, that it's almost like essentially what we're doing to animals. You know, the same thing you do to like fish, just tracking them to a certain extent. But as far as the implants go, have you noticed that there's any type of like correlation as far as when somebody has increased psychic abilities, is it something that happens before they get an implant, or do you think that the implants might be dual purposed and actually increase maybe some of the psychic abilities so that they're able to track and maybe they're able to, again, add extra abilities to humans almost as like a test subject?
Yeah, I think the implants are probably not as complicated as that. I think what it is it can be a tracking device and a monitoring device, because I've heard people talk about the fact that they're monitoring pollution levels in us and things of that nature, because they do seem to be concerned about our environment. In many cases, these people that have come back after being taken and had an experience, that they're left with this message that we need to be better stewards of the planet, we need to be better to one another. And so I think if they're that interested in that, then they're monitoring what's going on in our bodies. And then, of course, it's a tracking device. And, you know, the late Dr. Roger Lear did a fantastic thing. He had 17 people there where they removed these implants. And let me just read you what he found. I mean, this is interesting stuff. He says, first of all, there's no inflammatory rejection reaction by the body to these foreign objects, which is very unusual. You know, you get a splinter in your finger, next thing you know, it's swelling up and it's red and it hurts. Okay. There's no visible portal of entry. Collections of specialized nerve endings surrounding the object, an outer coating of ceramic biological material, a metallic phase where inorganic metal becomes biological tissue. The emission, this is an interesting one, the emission of radio waves, which are deep space frequencies in the FM band, electromagnetic fields in excess of 10 milligauss, composition of meteoric iron 66.
No, I was going to mention, too, you were talking about the electromagnetic fields that are given off by this thing. That's why I was starting to think that, you know, maybe these devices might actually increase telepathic abilities through extending the electromagnetic field that each person has around them. Maybe it makes it so that they're able to grasp onto more things around them too. So maybe, you know, maybe it's not necessarily an intention of the device, but it might be a side effect of the device.
Exactly. Rare earth metals such as U-236, a single isotope of uranium existing by itself, as well as elements such as iridium, which is very rare and hard to find on the Earth's crust. Most of that comes from, you know, meteors that have impacted the planet. Non-terrestrial isotopic ratios indicating involved elements did not come from Earth. Well, there you go. That's evidence, folks. That is absolute evidence that these things are not done by us. This is them doing this. So anyway, and it goes on. There's a few more things that are just, you know, remarkable in his findings. It's his book, The Alien and the Scalpel, was a great book about, you know, and he had this submitted to some really high-end labs, the analysis that was done. So I think that that's a great read. By the way, talking about books, I wrote one a couple of years ago that's on Amazon called The Unknown Other and the Existential Proposition of Alien Contact. And basically what it is it goes through briefly what Opus does, but also it talks about the experiences that these people are having and all the physical and psychological effects of these events.
As far as your book goes, I guess I kind of want to make sure that I kind of bring it full well round around to it. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I think what I felt, I mean, I wrote the book during COVID shutdown. And so I'm sitting here saying, you know, I've been thinking about writing a book for a long time and just never have had the time. And so this COVID thing really gave me the opportunity to sit down and, you know, put pen to paper and start really putting my thoughts down. And I felt it was important to put something out there that really talks to not just the stories, although I have like 25 stories from experiencers in the book as well. These are people that are in our support group that have been talking, you know, 24/7 with one another, telling their stories. And some of them are very interesting stories. And I thought that, especially for people that aren't, you know, very well versed in the topic, that they needed some kind of a guide as far as, you know, when people talk about it, what does that mean, or what are the physical effects that go on, you know, besides implants, and we talk about the hybrid program and things of that nature. So it's like, you know, I just wanted to make sure that people understood that here we are. These people are looking for help, all right? And we have an organization that can help them. But this is why they need the help. And these are the factors going on, from the psychological and the physical. And then, you know, theories about the fact that, you know, what are we dealing with? And I talk about the Nimitz, you know, incident where, you know, these jets were scrambled and they saw these tic-tac type objects. And now, you know, the latest, you know, with Grush and his congressional hearings and things of that nature. I mean, I was so excited, you know, this year with all the revelations that have come forward, and we're running into some difficult times right now in trying to get some teeth into the bill that Schumer just put out there. But I think that it's a step in the right direction, and it's going to take time, unfortunately, because there's a lot of people in higher places that don't want this information to come out. Because, and why would that be? Well, because we do have the crashed UFOs. We do have the alien bodies, you know, and we probably have figured out some of the technology. And right before the COVID shut everything down, I was able to have lunch with Lou Elizondo. And I had a fascinating conversation with him over lunch about the technology, and that they feel that they understand the technology and how they're manipulating it and how they're doing it. And if he you know, was not blowing smoke up my tailpipe, which I don't think he was, that's pretty significant. And so it's very possible that we are dealing with craft from them and craft of ours as well. So and that I would see that or say that that fact alone would be something that we would not want our enemies to understand, because it could be very vital if we do go to war in a big way to helping us take care of our foes.
So I want to make sure that I'm able to get back around to it before I run out of time, because you mentioned hybrids, and that's sure. definitely something that fascinates me. So I want to make sure we keep a little bit of time for that. But as far sure. as like the new recent UFO disclosure stuff goes, what's kind of your views on it as far as, do you think that it's the government intentionally wants to control the narrative and kind of intentionally let stuff out? Or do you think it's more so a matter of it's getting to the point where they can't hide things and things are starting to slip through the cracks now? And, or I guess another possibility too, is that they're trying to be open about this to possibly hide their technology within it and make everything look like it's UFOs when they're actually testing out their technology. But like, what's your opinion as far as like the motivation behind the disclosure?
I think you've hit on every possibility that it could be. I think that, you know, this whole thing started with, you know, this leaked video footage from the gun camera footage of these F-16s or F-18s. And it's remarkable stuff, and Lou Elizondo was at the head of this thing and saying, hey, look, this stuff is going on. It could be a threat, and it's already caused some issues with you know, safety issues, and so if we don't understand what this is, then that's a problem, and that's how he got Congress to start to open their eyes and start to look at this phenomena in a serious way, and that's the only, and I think that was strategically a good move on his part to put it into the realm of, hey, from a security standpoint, this could be a real problem, and we need to get on top of this and better understand it, which I think our government probably does in you know, some military industrial complex somewhere, probably do understand it a hell of a lot better than what they've told us about. And so, yes, I think that there's you know, a number of factions going on, and some of them don't want any of this to come out. Some of them want it to come out. And then there's somebody in between that, well, we can let out some of this, the old drip method, you know, we're going to let them have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, and over time, you know, after we figure out how to best do this, we'll you know, open up our kimono, so to speak, and show everybody what we got. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be something that is going to continue to always leave questions to be asked. But again, getting back to Grush and his presentation and Graves and the two pilots that are also in that congressional hearing, that These are guys with great credentials. I mean, you know, they're not up there, you know, they're risking a lot. I mean, just doing what they did. And so if we've got the craft and we've got the bodies, then okay. So now what? And now what do we do with this information, you know? And so I think that's where we need to understand, okay, so are we, do we truly understand the technology now? And if that's the case, then that would be a big revelation in and of itself. But whether or not we've been able to do something with it, that's a whole nother ballgame. And we're not only talking about, you know, craft in a way of, you know, solid craft. We're talking about interdimensional type things. We're talking about orbs. We're talking about poltergeist activity. We're talking, I mean, all kinds of the paranormal covers a whole plethora of things. I mean, you know, spiritual awakening, kundalini awakening, you know, demons, angels, you name it. It's all possible. And we truly don't fully understand most of this, if anything, to tell you the truth. But it's happening. It's happening to people. It's happening to pilots. It's happening to many other people in the military. And I know that this abduction phenomena is something that our government is also involved with. They know that these types of things, and they've interviewed many abductees and interrogated them, if you will. So it's it's something that needs a lot more attention, and hopefully the people in our government will someday realize that it's not going to hurt the population, you know, because there's all kinds of stories about the fact, well, if we really, tell the people that, well, yes, the aliens are here and this is what's going on, it's going to freak a lot of people out. Well, it might freak out some people. I'm fully aware of that. But I think 70 to 80% of the people would be perfectly fine with it. Matter of fact, they would probably just say, oh, I knew it all the time. I knew it all the time. They're here. Yeah. Yeah, my neighbor, by the way, is an alien.
See, that's I was going to bring it into like the hybrid process, that maybe that's actually a two-sided concept, that it's not just the extraterrestrials trying to figure out how to hybridize with humans, or the humans trying to figure out how to hybridize with aliens, but rather that maybe it's a long-term game, that their intention is that they want to be able to just blend the two species, and then in turn they can blend the technology, and the disclosure would be extremely, extremely slow and soft, but eventually they wouldn't necessarily have to create disclosure in the aspect that we're all thinking of it as, but rather that we'll all mm-hmm. blend together, and then they have an excuse for why this technology exists, why people have this ability. So it's like they never actually say, oh, it's extraterrestrials, just, oh, we started developing right. And this is what we are now.
No, Shane, that's a great concept, and I think that's something that has been posited by a number of people out there, that the fact that eventually we will be them. You know, and so there won't be a big deal about disclosure. Yeah, and supposedly we have a number of hybrids already in places in government that are, you know, pretty high ranking and such. So, and I think maybe that's another reason why this thing has got the impetus that it does have. But I think that's a good concept. I agree with you on that one. That's good.
Just out of curiosity, too, I'm sure that it's probably one of the main things that you end up talking about in your support groups, because I feel like it would cause the most trauma. But as far as people that have possibly had these experiences where, you know, they have like they become pregnant after an abduction and then it gets taken from them a couple months later. Have you talked to anybody in any of the support groups that maybe have an understanding of the reasoning behind this from the extraterrestrial side, maybe through, you know, doing regressions or possibly picking anything up like telepathically from the extraterrestrials?
One of our board members, Geraldine Orozco, she's had 21 children and been on board the craft and been involved with them and in a significant way. And you can go on our website, opusnetwork.org, and you can go into our board members and you can read her bio. But she has a website of her own where she talks about all of this. It's very significant and it's not uncommon to have women that have had, you know, pregnant one day and not the next, and no explanation for why, you know, because the baby was far enough along that it just wasn't going to be absorbed by the mother, but it was obviously taken. And these are things that are part of the hybrid process, where they're taking these babies and then manipulating genes, I suppose, at that point. And David Jacobs has written a book recently, his most recent book, and he talks about these things. They've got this hybridization process down to a fine point that he calls them hubrids, not hybrids, they're hubrids, because they look so much like you and I. So, and then that goes back to what you said earlier about the fact that, you know, eventually we will be them and them will be us, and the twain shall meet.
See, and then this kind of connects into something that I brought up on a round table I did about a year ago or so when it comes to alien abduction, that it may be what plays into cattle mutilation too, because it seems like they usually take the blood and they take the womb as two of the normal things they end up taking. So my my idea was possibly that maybe they were taking the wombs so that they could create synthetic wombs. And I know that they use cow blood sometimes for surgery because it can be interchanged sometimes with human blood. So maybe they're using it to create synthetic wombs because, you know, depending on which way the hybrid turns out, I'm assuming that maybe it's down to a complete science, like you said, but maybe sometimes there's little differentiations that happen. And if you're thinking about like the normal depiction of like a gray, for example, it seems like the head would be too big possibly for a female to naturally give birth to. So maybe they have to take them earlier before they get to that size, or if they're hybrids and they possibly grow faster, they have to take them before that so it doesn't end up destroying the female in the process of it, and instead they can actually birth it from a synthetic womb.
Right. No, that's a good point. I mean, you know, of course, there's all kinds of theories about why these cattle mutilations are going on besides, you know, tasty treats, you know, for, they have a yen for tongue and other parts that they usually take. It's totally possible, Shane. I mean, it, you know, again, we don't have definitive answers, but it's certainly a possibility. It's certainly a possibility. Yeah.
So I know that you said you only had about an hour. So at some point, I would absolutely love to have you back on the show because this has been an absolutely wonderful conversation. And I also do another podcast called Bizarre Encounters that we dive into this kind of stuff. And I do it with one of my co-hosts who is also a UFO researcher. So I think it'd be a lot of fun to have you over on that side, too, at some point.
Be happy to do it. Happy to do it.
That'd be great. So also, before we start closing up, I always like to do words of wisdom from the guests to the listeners. So if there was any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners today, what might it be?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most important things as far as I'm, you know, with my organization and what we do is if you know of anybody out there that is had an experience and is looking for help, please send them our way. Just have to go to opusnetwork.org, there's a place in there, there's a support button that you can hit that, and we only ask you a few questions, and then we'll get in touch with you within 72 hours, you know, if you're looking to be put into the support group, we can do that. Or if you're looking for a mental health practitioner or a hypnotherapist, we can help in that regard. And then we also have that triage group. So, again, if you yourself are having an issue and would like some help, or you know somebody that is having an issue, and we would love to try to help them out. And then also, we are also looking for more mental health practitioners and hypnotherapists, certified hypnotherapists, licensed mental health practitioners. So if you are listening and you are one of those people, get a hold of us. There's a contact button on our site. You can contact us and get my book, which helps the organization. We're a nonprofit, so we basically live on donations. So we have an agreement with Amazon that when a book is sold, that those funds are funneled to us. And so we appreciate that. And that's The Unknown Other and the Existential Proposition of Alien Contact under Lester Velez. Yeah, you can see me on Amazon. So those are my words of wisdom in a plug.
And just out of curiosity for the plug too, is your book only available on Amazon, or do you also sell it through your website? Because I know some people like to get signed copies of books. So I was just curious if that was an option for people too.
Yeah. It's basically the way it's set up right now. You can go on our website and the book is there, but when you hit the icon for the book, it takes you directly to Amazon. So, but if you're interested in getting a signed copy, you can contact me through the website, and then I can make arrangements accordingly.
Awesome. So I'll have to talk to you about it after the show, but I'd love to pick up a signed copy for myself because I absolutely love getting signed copies of books. But for the time being, sure. I appreciate you making the time coming on the show. And I'm looking forward to setting something else up again because I know that there's a lot more interesting stuff we can dive into. And as far as all the disclosure stuff happening, who knows what might happen the next couple months to have even more different stuff to dive into.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Shane. Appreciate it. By the way, I appreciate what you and the people like you that have shows like this are doing, because it's getting the word out. And this is a something we've never had before. You know, all these podcasts and all these people that are doing shows like this, it's opening up the general public to really better understand the various phenomena that are occurring out there. So again, thank you, Shane, for what you do.
Thank you so much. Actually, just something I kind of funny I wanted to mention since you brought that up. I've had a couple buddies that live, you know, in the deep south. You know, they're just regular country boys that are just going out hunting every night, doing whatever. And they've made comments saying things like, you know, if it wasn't for podcasts like this, if it wasn't for documentaries that are out now and all the accessibility to all of this type of information that's out now and the people that are openly talking about this information, he's like, who knows where I would possibly be. Like, you know, this information is reaching people that are in the middle of nowhere at this point. So now it's becoming a point where people who have had experiences for years that never want to mention a word about it to anybody, they now know that there's a group of people that they can be comfortable enough to come up to that will make it so that they can get it off their chest and actually do some research into it, rather than, you know, how it used to be before all of this type of stuff happening, that, you know, people were able to read books and stuff at the library, but they didn't necessarily have a means of contacting somebody directly or knowing that there's a whole group of community or a whole community that is more than willing to hear them out and not call them crazy for their experiences. And that goes exactly across extraterrestrials, cryptids, paranormal, all that stuff. Like, it's helping all of the different topics all at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. Good job.
Thank you. If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or a rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. And if you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read on the show and, of course, give you guys a big shout out. And if you don't want to do that, or you guys have already left a review or a rating, don't forget to share the show through word of mouth. It's an awesome way to organically continue to help the show grow. And you guys can even share the clips from YouTube or TikTok, get somebody into a couple men to the show, might even extend to them listening to the entire episode of the show. And if you guys want to support the show in another way, you guys can always hit auto-download in any of your podcatcher apps. That'll make it so that it counts as a listen. Again, helps out the algorithm, makes it so that more people are able to see the show. So there's a lot of awesome ways to be able to support the show that are absolutely free to you. And if you guys do that, I greatly appreciate it. And again, if not, I just appreciate you guys listening to the show and supporting the show through the past couple of years, and soon to be hitting the second year, of course. And if anybody has any encounters they'd like to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter what it pertains to, weird phenomenon, extraterrestrials, cryptids, paranormal, any of that fun stuff, if you guys want to report your encounter, you guys can do so through OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. Or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form, and that will go directly to that specific email. And depending on what you want to do with your encounter, whether you want to share it on the show, remain anonymous, have me come and investigate it, or simply you just want somebody to talk to about it and you want to leave it between us, that's totally fine too. We can have a little bit of back and forth as far as that goes. But again, don't forget to report your encounters to OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any other reason whatsoever, you guys can do so through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones that I'm the most active on. Or you guys can email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. Or you can go to the link tree, fill the submission form for that, and that will, of course, go directly to my email. And everything that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.